Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two of Show and Vern. And remember, Show and Vern is presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclynn.com. I am Ram, the show Hughley. That over there is Joshua Lamont Vernier and Steve Serta, plugging away, giving it everything he's got, producing this bad boy today. Two legs deep into this. We understand yesterday was a big day in this city. It was election day, and Quentin Lucas, who I think was on with Fesco earlier today and was on with The Drive a couple of days ago, no chance in hell he'd ever join us. He is the new mayor-elect. And I know when Carrington had himself on and the other one who was running against Jolie Justice, they had discussions about the big hot button sports issues. And we all know the number one sports issues that you come to when it comes to politics in this city, and that is building and building a new stadium and changing where the stadiums are and those things. And that's a conversation that you can have all the time. And that's the Pete Rose convo. That's a conversation you have any time. But listening to Carrington and Sean discuss their thoughts on it yesterday really made it really make a lot of sense to me, Vern. And tell me if this makes sense to you and anyone listening, Sean, Vern family. Man, to me, it's not about the new stadium. Jack, it's not about the feel for most of you of Kauffman Stadium at Arrowhead are not so important, and that they are like Lambeau or Soldier or Fenway or Wrigley. No, it's not like that. Because Kemper Arena was an important thing, and we forgot about Kemper Arena in 5 minutes when the Sprint Center was built. And I know many of you have many moments in Arrowhead and Kauffman like you did at Kemper. I know I did. Many of you saw your first concert at Kemper like I did when it was Hammer, MC Hammer, Boys to Men, and Jodeci. And it couldn't
That's have, not real.
And it wasn't Boys to Men because Jodeci had to perform as Boys to Men as well because their manager had just gotten killed. I know many of you, that was your first concert.
I don't believe that was a real concert.
I know, yes, it was. And I know many of you went to the Velvet Rope Tour at Kemper Arena. And I'll give a moment of silence for you all to have that time and remember what it was like when Janet was there. I know many of you remember that. I know those were high memories at Kemper Arena. But as soon as you got the new facility, it was gone. It's not about the stadiums to me or any of the other stuff that is wrapped around it with the parking and all that. What it, to me, comes down to, and it didn't come so clear to me besides listening to Carrington and Sean yesterday, Vern, is it's where do you want your city and what tier do you want your city? And listen, I don't want to come down on anybody, whichever side you stand on, because I think too many times in this particular topic, we come down on one side and say the other side is stupid or the other side is dumb for feeling that way. No, you can understandably feel whichever way you want and shouldn't be called out in a negative way for it. But it really what it comes down to, Vern, is what do you want this city to be? Do you want this city to be in the tier of Buffalo and San Antonio, and there is nothing wrong with that? Or do you want this city to be in a tier and jump up a tier? There are three cities that come to mind in the last 10, 15 years, Vern, that have changed tiers. They are Minneapolis. Minneapolis has changed tiers. They've built infrastructure. They have created a lot of things in terms of transportation, public transit, where they have jumped up in a tier than they were 10, 15 years ago. Austin is another one. Austin has jumped up from just being a college town to they are a city that is growing in a major way, and a city that the three of us just came from, Nashville. I lived in Nashville for 5 years, and I left there in 2008. It is nothing anywhere near to what it was then. You think Broadway was amazing? Broadway was nothing when I was in Kansas or when I lived in Nashville. Not anywhere near to what it was. Those cities were in a place where the people living there were ready for their city to grow, and that means more population. They were ready to go to the next tier. That's really what this is about. Not about no damn stadium. It's really about when that happens, if a stadium and those things are done, if they build a new Arrowhead with a roof on it, they move downtown, that means more people are going to be wanting to come in, more events are going to be wanting to come in, and it's going to be a different tier of a city. And I think that's what the fight is, Vern.
Protein LZ with a purpose, text line 69306. Listener 8900 says, preach, brother, show, preach. Where does it take them? A downtown ballpark, look, a roof on Arrowhead could bring you a Super Bowl, sure. I personally don't know where Kansas City can climb to.
I'm not saying, obviously, on the Boston level or anything like that. I'm just saying it raises a tier. Just like when Kansas City built Power and Light and the Sprint Center downtown and their downtown became something, it made more people move in. I've talked to people who from Omaha or Iowa who all like, man, when Kansas City seemed bigger in downtown, I moved. I bet there are people down here listening who moved once downtown became a bigger thing. And they're more, it's like that in Nashville, man. They're popular. The amount of people that have moved into Nashville in the last decade.
Yeah, I can't see Kansas City ever being the party that Nashville has become.
Well, not necessarily has to be a party, just more people here.
Indianapolis is brought up a lot, and how much that stadium downtown helped bringing the Colts down. A new stadium for the Colts. It's to me, Indianapolis still isn't a place that I'm seeking out. Maybe this is a reflection of me, but I don't know what Kansas City would have to do to make themselves suddenly attractive to tourists, a destination city. I'll admit Nashville is a destination for like a bachelor party, bachelorette party,
but
something
never,
like that.
But it never was before then.
Okay.
In the last 10 years, it never was.
But to and me, they went, okay, and they, but Ron, a baseball stadium doesn't make this a destination city, in my opinion. Putting a roof on Arrowhead doesn't make it a destination city. It's just a different place to go and watch the Royals and the Chiefs. You have to be a baseball fan or a football fan to want to come here to begin with. Putting a stadium in a different spot, that to me won't make this city any different. Now, it could make the people that live here, it could make going downtown something that we locals want to do a little bit more than we're doing right now. I'll give you that. But the only way, in my opinion, you change tiers on a national level is by becoming attractive to tourists. And to me, stadiums are not the avenue for that.
Totally disagree, because the stadium in Sprint Center changed the entirety of downtown and how people feel. Vern, when you move a stadium downtown, we all know when you move, if you move the Royals downtown, that means public transit downtown has to improve. That means the skyline and everything, like Quentin Lucas was saying on Bob's podcast. That happens. We build more things downtown and more. That's what happened in Nashville. They decided, okay, all of this stuff on Broadway, we're going to turn this into, we're going to build more buildings. There are high rises going up downtown. There's more condos and lofts going on downtown. They then took all of those bars and all of those places and put the rooftop stuff on it and made down. Anytime your downtown is expanded, and if the Royals were to move their stadium downtown, the downtown would be expanded. That brings more people in, not just to visit. This brings more people in to live. And we know in the Midwest, there aren't a lot of these cities that get huge events. Minneapolis is getting almost all of the events because everything they have built, and they've stepped up. There's not, Chicago doesn't have a place with a roof. They don't have places where they can host things. Indianapolis has become the second place. Kansas City gets a roof and creates something around Arrowhead that is more than just a damn Denny's and a, It just creates more jobs and more people wanting to come down here.
And the Burger King is new over there by the stadiums as well.
Connected to the
Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306, listener 22, show your spot on, listener 901. Vern, it's not going to happen suddenly, but it all helps a lot with the persona of this no longer being flyover country. No listener number here from the 816. I'm starting to think that Ron is not that dumb.
I'll take it. I just think what it's about, it's not truly about a stadium. It is truly about what tier you're wanting your city to be in. And there's nothing wrong with it in either way. If you want your city to still be on the line of Buffalo and San Antonio, that makes total sense, man. You don't want it. I hear people who say, I don't want to be bigger. I don't want to be Minneapolis. Or do you want to grow and be Minneapolis? Because this city can do that. It can do that. And when you bring stuff like that downtown, I just think that's what the argument's about. I think you can wrap all of that stuff up with the airport. It's not about, no, I don't want a better airport. No. Do you want your city to be a different tier? Oh, public transit? Nope. Not really about that. Do you want your city to be a different tier?
Coming up in the next 10 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to Rivalry Renewed at Silverstein Eye Center's Arena. This segment of Show and Vern presented by Mazarese Jewelry, four generations of distinctive jewelry located in Leawood. Edilberto Mondesi left the game last night as the Royals win 9-0. Ned Yost had an update.
His groin tightened up on him, and then he felt it when he was swinging. He struck out the last bat, and I'm like, I'm not taking no chances here. So,
is it related at all to what he was dealing with last week on Friday? That was my hamstring, though, right?
Yeah. It's the same thing. It just re-aggravated a little bit.
Possible he'll be out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I'm going to play tomorrow.
All right, so no Mondesi as the Royals go for the sweep tonight, out with a groin injury, something that he's been dealing with for the better part of just about a week now.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that worries me with Mondesi. That's also the one thing that worries me with Jorge Soler, right? We've talked all season that this 2019 campaign is about identifying what you have for the future. Brad Keller, Mondesi, Dozier, so on and so forth. To me, the biggest problem with Jorge Soler, with Adalberto Mondesi throughout their Royals career was an inability to stay on the field. But you see, and we've all seen this season, when they're right, Mondesi's one of the most dynamic players in the American League, and Jorge Soler is one of the most prolific power hitters in all of the American League. Ron, if both of these guys have an extended stay on the injury list, right? You got to be careful with these growing injuries. If Mondesi's on the IL,
don't take any chances with it.
You put him on the IL for a month?
I think 2 weeks longer than you think he should be. And the Royals have always been really, really good with it.
They'll err on the side of caution. No, I'm not concerned. This isn't the Chiefs. No. Nick Kenny knows what he's doing. I trust that medical staff. Yeah,
this isn't Rick with Andy's ankles. Now you've got me doing it.
But it's real, though, right? Did you get a look at him lately, Andy Reid's ankles?
I can't even look at him now.
See? No, that's real. That's concern from Show and Vern to you, Coach. Come on, man.
They're jacked.
Yeah.
Not in a good way.
No. Can you find a different way to say that? That they're jacked?
I mean, they am. They're... There's way too much blood in those ankles right
they
now.
They are very girthy ankles.
They need to be elevated is what we're saying. But the point about Mondesi, the point about Soler, if either one of them miss a month or so this season, man, that really does a number to the encouragement that I've felt towards the both of them. Soler, Mondesi, if they miss any extended period of time, Ron, in 2019, I have a different attitude towards them long-term this offseason. Now, I still want them on the team in 2020, obviously in 2021, but even having a discussion about extending Soler, having a discussion of getting in early on Mondesi and signing him this offseason, if they can't stay healthy for the full, not every game, but if they're on the IL for a solid month, man, I can't have that talk this offseason. I got to see a healthy season from Mondesi, from Soler, to truly believe that they can be the players that I know they could be, if right.
Yeah, I could see that with Soler, because to me, and I've been listening to this a lot. I think you said this in our meetings before, and I heard Carrington say this yesterday about to think that the major thing and the difference is that Soler is healthy, and that's why we're seeing this. See, coming into the year, it wasn't just for me, oh, if Soler can stay healthy, I see it. No, I've never, ever seen this type of potential of production like this before. So it was production for me for Soler. So, yeah, I can see that. But it's not just because of health. It's Soler. With Mondesi, I think you just have to take – I mean, you got to take a chance with that. I mean, I see – I think we can all see. And even coming into the year, I thought it was preposterous, the top five MVP candidate thing. But it is clear he showed you enough last year, and he showed you with the talent that he's had coming up that this is a guy who can go and who can play and who can be a difference maker on the team. So, yeah, for me, you got to take a chance with the health thing. But Soler, if Soler were to get hurt, hell yeah, because it's not just health to me with Soler. I don't view Soler as, you know, coming into the year that, oh, man, as long as he stays healthy, that guy's going to be productive. I didn't know that. I'm surprised by his year right now. I am surprised that he has been this consistent and productive. Like, I'm surprised by that. I didn't see that. I did not at all, because I don't think he's shown that, in my opinion. But Mondesi is different. Mondesi, you got to take a
chance. Keep in mind with Mondesi, next year is his final year of pre-arbitration. So you're going to have to start paying him in 2 years. This would be the offseason in which you would try to take care of those three arbitration-eligible seasons and maybe eat up another year or two of free agency, sign him to something like a 5 or 6 year deal. If the kids can't stay healthy, I can't break them off that long-term deal. Ron, I looked up that concert. You were right. It was summer of 92, the Too Legit to Quit ever. Tour.
Yeah, Hammer was a headliner. Then it was Boyz II Men and Jodeci, but Boyz II Men couldn't make it because their manager died, and Jodeci stepped in for him.
This article from Variety says TLC was a part of it in Los Angeles. Did they make the trip?
No,
we didn't get
Crazy Sexy Cool.
How about this write up real quick? I was reading this during most of your Quentin Lucas opinion.
Take the wheel.
Moving about the stage like Marky Mark wannabes were MCA recording artists. Jodeci.
The disrespect.
Yeah. Variety is complete.
That's pissed me right off for the rest of the day.
Understandably so. That's 27 years ago, but Variety, you're out. I will not continue my subscription to Variety.
They just did.
Marky Mark wannabes is what they called Jodeci.
That's the equivalent of you trying to convince us with Pro Football Focus Orlando Scandrick's better than Marcus Peters.
I mean, Marky Mark was hot then.
Yeah, you have nothing to add to the conversation. Not at all.
Give away this rivalry
you
renewed
kidding me?
Four-pack. Foggs boys, those KU alums.
Devontae alone.
Will take on the MU alums, better known as Black and Gold. Rivalry renewed 2 at Silverstein Eye Centers Arena coming up on July 28th. Purchase your tickets now at SilversteinEyeCentersArena.com or be caller number 9 to 913-576-7610, and you win a 4-pack of tickets to Rivalry Renewed. Again, online at SilversteinEyeCentersArena.com or caller number 9 to 913-576-7610.
Show and Vern family on all hands on deck. I need you to jump in on this. I was watching one of my favorite channels, no shocker here, the Food Network. That's all right. It was the cooking channel.
Beat Bobby Flay.
I even come down to the cooking channel. I was watching Man's Greatest Food.
Never heard of the cooking channel.
Yeah, no, it's right next to it. Man's Greatest Food, and
so it's like a B rate.
They were the food. They were going through the country of the top 10 sweet breakfast spots. Like, you can get a sweet breakfast dish, you know. Ooh. You know, donuts or things like that. They got to a place in New York. I'm not going to say their name because they're not paying us. A place in New York that sold chicken and waffles. And the guy and his wife, they kind of worked in the place. She kind of ran the front of the house. And then he, you know, was doing all the cooking overall and everything. And they had a special recipe to the chicken. Spices, how they make the chicken, all the spices in the chicken. And they were talking to them. And she said, you know what? I don't even know. The secret recipe. He has not even told me. Nice. And they've been married 10, 15 years. Just guessing by the way they look. Yeah. 10, 15 years they've been married, got kids, whatever. She works in the restaurant. They own it. My wife was sitting there saying, nah, man, you'd have to tell me that recipe. If I'm in there working, my money, our money together is going into this. I'm in there working. You got to tell me the recipe.
What do you need to know the recipe
for? That's what I was saying. I was like, nah, I can't tell you the recipe. What if this don't work out? You can't have my family's recipe.
I just think it would be more of a burden to know the recipe because then people are asking you. And right now you have the plausible deniability of, hey, I don't know it.
Protein House.
I just wouldn't want to be bothered with it all.
Protein House, eat with a purpose text line, 69306. Do you feel like you should tell your wife the secret family recipe? Because she said if I wasn't working in the place, if it was just like your business, I wouldn't trip. But if I was working in it, she's like, yeah, I feel like I should know the recipe. Our money's going in it. I work in it.
But why?
We're married. That's what I kept saying. I kept saying, but
who cares?
I said, what if it don't work out? I said, I'm more apt to tell our kids it.
Well, you got to tell the
oldest.
I'm
not divorcing them.
Well, you got to. Well, they could divorce you. You got to tell the oldest. No, what I just can't get past is why do you need to know? What does it matter?
Yeah,
if you don't know the recipe, but I do, it seems like the business is working out just fine out here.
Because I've watched the story on Colonel Sanders. There's like seven people who knew.
Off the Rundown.
Okay, Off the Rundown, sponsored by absolutely no one. Someone could step up.
There's other people who know he's lying.
All right. And this was when he was alive. They were doing interviews with Colonel Sanders. Yeah, no, they don't tell people.
Right.
I bet you only four people know the secret recipe for Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. From the 913 no listener number, to death do us part, except for my family recipe. Yeah.
Everyone has secrets.
Congratulations to Brad and Emporia.
Something, you know something that your wife doesn't know, right? You have secrets that you keep from your wife, right? Ron?
Yeah.
Like what? Like what are a few things that don't openly and honestly explain to your wife?
I don't want to do this.
No, I'm just using it as an example. She's not listening.
Yeah, there are.
But we all...
Like
you,
what?
I'm not married, but you, I would imagine, in a marriage, you're not completely forthright about everything. You got to have your own time, right?
I don't have anybody to lie to. That's why I lie to you guys.
You got to pick it up, man. I just don't even know. Someone said, if you pass, the recipe is gone. No, I tell my kids. I'd write it, put it in a safe or something for my kids to give.
Other people that work there know what that recipe is. That guy's lying.
I believe me and my beautiful wife, who you can hear us on our show family podcast. It'll be the new episode tomorrow. I believe we'll be together forever. But you know, Carmelo and Lala got divorced.
No, they didn't. Right. We may have discussed the divorce and how ugly it was for a solid 15 minutes.
Yeah, you're right.
But a little bit of research told us that they did not get divorced.
Yeah, you're right.
We should apologize. Lala, we apologize for that again.
She's a good woman.
They're working things out.
Yeah, Carmelo, we apologize, man. Sometimes things get away from us, but we're man enough to apologize.
But it did get away from Carmelo a few times. I fought my feelings, Vern, on the cornerback situation for the Chiefs. I fought it for weeks. But I think now it's time that I got to start being honest with myself and thinking, and maybe they might not do what I think that they should do with this cornerback situation.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Hey, welcome back into Show and Burn. If you missed it, Serta stepping up and stepping in. Frank Mason, former Player of the Year, former Big 12 Player of the Year, National Player of the Year of the Kansas Jayhawks, will join us tomorrow. What time, 12:30?
Yes.
12:30. I did not believe him, and I'm not sure that I do completely now. But,
no idea how long it's going to be. It could be 5 minutes, could be 25 minutes.
He's not coming in here for 5 minutes.
That'd be the most disrespectful thing ever. But yeah, Frank Mason will join us today, or tomorrow, excuse me, at 12:30, apparently. So we'll see about that. I do want to get to this cornerback situation, because there was something that you said yesterday that
I'd like to get to this popcorn situation.
Yeah, I'm on your side.
You're on whose side?
Serta's.
We have kind of communal desks out here.
Oh, so we're just going
to go. But basically, right. It's my desk.
I'm with it.
I've got all the stuff on there. I've got things clipped up to the board behind the desk. Things that help me keep track of everything that I have going on. Ooh. Somebody left a bag of popcorn on my desk this morning.
No one believes you have all those
also,
things.
Also.
Helping you remember
also,
anything.
Right?
Popcorn, very overrated. Who's just eating a bag of microwavable popcorn like as a snack? Nobody likes popcorn that much.
People, when they're trying too hard to diet, that's when they just sit around and I'll just have a little popcorn. Stop.
Like people that eat rice cake.
Popcorn's overrated.
Yeah, popcorn's like a rice cake. You're just eating styrofoam.
That's absurd. Both of you. Popcorn is not overrated. I don't even know why I'm doing this. Popcorn is not overrated. First off, popcorn is the number one thing attached and the number one thing that people order because they love it to one of the most American things that we do, and that is go to the movies.
Ron, you're so wrong. It's ridiculous, and here's why. The reason why people eat and are offered popcorn at the movies is because it's the closest thing to a chip without making all the noise that a chip brings.
No, people get it because
theater.
They love it.
There people would much rather have potato chips, kettle cooked chips. They would rather have Doritos or Cheetos or Fritos than they would some crappy popcorn.
I know because...
But popcorn's quiet, so you can eat it in a movie theater. You can't be chomping on Doritos.
I know that it is because...
Popcorn's also much cheaper than chips.
People
much easier to package because you could just throw... scoops of it into a popcorn machine instead of having like individual bags of chips.
Yep. I know that people are going to agree with you because you are baby Jesus and they just follow your way, even though
again,
you
I didn't
do
ask
things,
for that nickname, but I wear it with pride.
Even though you mess with their heads and say things just to see if they'll still follow you anyway, no matter how absurd they are. Second, they just say it because they feel sorry for you. No. Popcorn is not overrated. People go and get popcorn not because they wish they had chips. Maybe you do because you are insanely in love with chips, no matter what they are. No, people go in and get popcorn because they love it. There's nothing like buttering up your popcorn and going to that machine.
Covering
and
it with so many things that you can't taste the
crap. Oh, yes. Popcorn is not overrated. Good movie at the house. People do it at home.
It's so
at home,
overrated.
People pop up popcorn when they're watching
because
movies
quiet.
At home.
It's quiet. You don't want someone chomping on some Fritos
fresh
next
popcorn
to you.
Is delicious. What you're
you
saying?
You want to talk to me about some like caramel popcorn? Okay, we can sit down.
That's
and have
popcorn,
a chat about that.
Idiot.
But regular popcorn, so overrated.
Not now. It's just right
the
now.
The
caramel regular
corn's
popcorn.
Delicious.
Any popcorn? You ever got a Topsy's bucket where they've got the butter and the cheese and the caramel to mix in? You're at the Chicago style.
I go to the movies.
It is not overrated.
More than anybody you've ever
hell.
Met in your life. I don't ever get popcorn.
Because you're not human. You're not weird. Just because your ass and your ass don't get it don't mean that's how most people feel. The way you're talking about it, saying, oh, people just go to the movies and get popcorn just because it's there and it's what people have to. That's, so is that with baseball? Is hot dogs now overrated? Is hot dogs overrated because that's just what we get at baseball? No. Hot dogs aren't overrated. And popcorn isn't either.
Right, that's so ridiculous.
It's not. No,
you're ridiculous. Baseball and hot dogs.
You're ridiculous.
No, you don't eat a hot dog because it's quiet. That's why people eat popcorn at movies.
People eat popcorn because they love it.
Protein House, eat with a purpose. Text line 69306 from the 816. Popcorn is extremely overrated. I've been saying it for years. Listener 007, popcorn is complete garbage. You get it stuck in your teeth. Look.
Oh, just keep reading those. For once, I agree with Ron. Popcorn is amazing.
Here's
I
the
eat
thing.
A bag every night. Chips suck. I wouldn't say that. Popcorn's a great snack.
You eat a bag
listener
every night.
Listener 2780.
Well, then I hate to read this one, but here it is from listener 3.14. Fat people love popcorn because they think it's healthy.
That's rude. That's mean. Skinny people like popcorn, too.
No, fat people think it's healthy and it smells good. Thus, they love popcorn.
You don't know nothing about fat people.
I'll give, I mean,
Not like I do.
I say popcorn smells good.
Are you kidding me?
Smells good, but it does, once you actually put the popcorn in your mouth, it does not live up to the smell.
Popcorn is like most food in that if you haven't had it in a while.
What are we doing?
I'm just saying, if you haven't had it in a while, the first few bites, you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, I know what I've been missing. And then when you get to like bite 6, 7, 8, it's just more of a pain in the ass. It's stuck in your teeth. It's all over your lap, all over the floor. The dog's had way too much of it by then. It's more of a pain in the ass than anything else.
For you.
You better have some floss on you. I'll tell you that, or the whole movie.
For you.
And then at the movie theater, people spill the popcorn everywhere. Right. You're walking around. You're crunching all over popcorn.
Because popcorn's quiet.
It's got that styrofoam feel to it, too.
You guys just don't like popcorn. Maybe it's just you. I don't like Garth Brooks' music, but I understand it's popular. Popcorn is amazing.
I didn't say people are idiots if they eat it. Just like you're not going to dump on Garth Brooks, nor would you, Chris Gaines.
But I'm not going to say popcorn is bad or Garth Brooks is bad.
Or you could say he's overrated.
I don't think. No, that's asinine for me to say that Garth Brooks is overrated. That's asinine for me to say Garth Brooks is overrated because I don't prefer him myself. That's asinine in my opinion.
Every time I eat popcorn, I got to brush my teeth like 6 times.
What are we talking about?
Ron,
what happened to the cornerback?
I'll get to the cornerback thing in a moment. Here's what I find frustrating. Oh, yeah. This is why. No, the reason why we're 12th is because you make poor analogies. Garth Brooks and popcorn, it's totally different. Popcorn as a food is overrated. You're not a fan of country music, so you can't rate what's properly rated, underrated, overrated.
Oh,
you
I love
you. Just leave that whole genre alone.
Oh, shove it up
but
your
when
ass.
It comes to food, I eat food, you eat food, and one of the foods, popcorn, overrated.
Oh, I like country music. All
you
right.
Don't know country
I lived
music.
In Nashville for 5 years.
Now, so what?
Give me George Strait.
Really?
Don't fool with me.
You want some follow up questions to that? Or
you
should
want
we
some
move
follow
on?
Up questions? You don't think I like a little Trisha Yearwood?
No.
You don't think
I can come up with names? Give me some George Strait.
I don't know the names of the songs.
So there you go.
And I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing it well. But I like some stuff. I've been to a couple concerts.
But you don't know any songs. I can name country artists. Doesn't mean I'm allowed to say what's underrated or overrated or properly rated. We can talk about food because we all like food. Leave the Garth Brooks and those horrible analogies
you
alone.
You guys are ridiculous. It was a good one. I mean, it's just so... I just don't understand why you put yourself in such a boat to say, because I don't like it. No, it's just... It's overrated to you, but you are in the minority.
They give you unlimited refills because it's cheap.
Yeah, here, take this crap
it's
off.
It's garbage. Okay.
Covered in butter and cheese and caramel, anything you can to choke it back.
They throw away huge bags of popcorn at the end of the
night. So we couldn't say the same thing about chips. We don't just have a regular chip.
Yeah, you
they
do.
Could put everything, they put everything. Yeah, but they got to put
Ruffles.
Everything on it. Yeah, everyone loves regular popcorn. What are we doing? How did this happen?
Listener 22.
11 damn
place.
Minutes on this. 11.
We didn't.
That's why our friends at the Alamo Draft House, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Christmas in July, 48 pairs of Alamo Draft House tickets, Movie Mondays. That's why you can get real food there.
Yeah, Christmas in July, July 8th through the 12th. And as Steve was searching for, he eventually found it. Movie Monday, 48 pair of movie tickets leading you into Ticket Tuesday, Wifey Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, and then Fly Away Friday, where we register you to win a trip for two to see Kansas City play in Chicago in Week 16. Two tickets to the game, airfare, and hotel. Christmas in July, July 8th through the 12th.
God, man, you put some M&Ms and some popcorn. Oh, my God.
You put M&Ms in anything, and it makes it better.
Oh, God, man.
Of course.
Right? The peanuts? Jesus. I never knew.
I'll take peanuts over popcorn. I'll take M&Ms over popcorn.
Burn.
I'll take Chex Mix.
I never knew
Garbettos.
About it. I never knew about that until I watched Curb.
Oh, well.
And when they added that candy in it, oh, my God, that changed my whole soul.
I've never done that. I do feel like that's a game changer.
No, you can't. You're not allowed. You don't get to eat popcorn.
I'll do it right now if I want to.
Yeah.
Listen,
I'm
going to
go cook that bag of popcorn out of there.
He writes, your ratings need to be covered in butter to make them better.
Listener 13, please move on, holy hell. I'm thinking the same thing. This is my fault. I was trapped. I don't know. God, Serta. God. No, all right. I listened to you say this yesterday, Vern, when you were talking about Tyreek. You said, man, I had to come to the realization that Tyreek Hill never crossed your mind, never really took it serious to the point that he won't play at all this year. And thinking about how everything we described yesterday with the commissioner's exempt list, like, it's something that you got to think about. It made me think about how steadfast and strong I am on that. I am just for sure the Chiefs are going to find a corner that knocks Tre'Davious Ward or Rashad Breeland down a peg to where they bring in somebody that's going to be a starter with the amount of money they have left, with the resources they have, and this being an all-in season. I am just certainly convinced they're going to bring somebody that is going to be on the field that's different than what the three they have right now. I've been certain of that. I kind of got to start thinking and getting to a place where maybe that just won't happen. At least give it credence to think about the fact that it won't happen. I've heard you speak about it. I heard Pete Sweeney talk about it the other day, think that the Chiefs may be really, really happy with the corners. And I have talked to some people who are close to the organization who feel like the Chiefs are really, really happy with that. And it does. I might have to start getting to the realization that that is true. But, Vern, the part that really should make Chiefs fans nervous about this to me, if it is true, because, Vern, that is the one position since Andy Reid has been here, and we know he runs the football decisions, even when John Dorsey was here, the only thing that they have gotten right at that position is Marcus Peters. Like that is the one position, Vern, they're scouting, they're evaluating, seems to be poor there. They thought last year, coming into the year, baby, we can roll with Kendall Fuller, Dave Amerson, and Steve Nelson as starters. That was their evaluation team all offseason. The corners were terrible there. Their evaluation team, they thought they could do that. The year before that, they thought, even with Dorsey, we could bring in Darrell Revis. They evaluated him and thought he's somebody who could be on the field. Like, their position, that position has been the struggle position. That position has been their version of the Royals starting pitching, where they have struggled to find answers at that position. They've been good. Really, you could say they found pieces, multiple pieces at every other position on the field that you can be comfortable with, whether it's in the draft, whether that's in free agency. But corner seems to be a problematic position for the Chiefs in terms of how they evaluate and how they draft. And that's the part that makes it uncomfortable and nervous for me if I'm a Chiefs fan. Vern, I just need them to go get somebody who I think is evaluation proof. Somebody that you know you can feel comfortable with. All right, they're a guy. And I know Spags is a good coach and has been a secondary coach, but that's just, like, that's the part that makes it nervous. If they've evaluated this group of guys as starters or guys that they can play, it makes me nervous because this is something they struggle with since they've been there.
Wasn't it like a week and a half ago you put the show stamp of approval on the Chiefs would go out and bring in a corner?
I didn't believe. I didn't put the show stamp of approval. I said I would eat a banana if Keith Reiser's on this team or Reiser's on this team or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I don't know what his name is. I don't know, man. I thought you put the show stamp of approval that the Chiefs were going to bring in someone like Josh Norman or better.
I said I'd be shocked. I didn't put it on. I know what I put him on.
Okay. You just said you'd be shocked if they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Positive.
I believe so.
Okay. I don't really care for the comparison to the Royals and their inability to develop starting pitching. I think the Royals have done a much better job at developing and identifying starting pitchers than the Chiefs have identifying and selecting cornerbacks. If you want to say that's been the weak link of the Royals, I can get that. But I don't think that they are on par with one another. You know, had the tragedy with Yordano Ventura not happened, you know, you were able to get Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist because of the pitchers that you had in the system. You know, maybe if Brandon Finnegan is never traded and he remains with the Royals,
he wouldn't be standing on the front row and see. Oh, come on, Vern. I mean, they've had. I'm talking about this has been a thing for the Royals for like since the 90s. Like the starting pitching.
Yeah,
the time frame is different. But
yeah, and I don't know that many teams that are just pumping out very good starting pitchers at a better clip than the Royals. Was that Brandon Finnegan thing on television? Brandon Finnegan was at the Royals game,
Vern, that's
dressed like he just left his job at the John Deere factory.
That's the saddest thing. He looks like he got off early.
He was just in the front row during BP to say hi to Cam Gallagher.
Cam Gallagher and Bonifacio walking up there shaking hands. He's not in an organization. He was the number one pick. Yeah. He was in the wild card game. He was in the playoffs.
He was in the World Series.
My man in there in some jeans and a jacket, man, just shaking everybody's hand, man. It was just the saddest thing I've ever seen.
He looked like he just got off the back 20 acres, hopped off that John Deere, and decided to hit up T-Mobile Park and say what up to his former teammates.
Royals fans, don't even go look for it. Don't go look for it.
Oh, yes.
Don't do it, man. I'm not joking.
It's just sad,
it was sad to see.
Has he just gone downhill? Or?
No, he was fatter when he was with the Reds. It's not that he's fat.
No, but he's in Seattle doing whatever
that
is.
What the hell's he doing in Seattle?
It's whatever Kyle Zimmer was doing, working with
those, on that baseline, whatever.
Deadline or
crushing all that.
Can't wait till Dateline
Last
comes
Chance
on this
U
week.
Baseball?
Yeah, he's working there, and he's on the front row shaking everybody's hand. But it's like, you know, security's looking at him like, man, but you can't step over.
Yeah.
Because you're not a major leaguer. It was the saddest thing.
Oh, he's not even on the team? I thought he was just, like, hurt or something.
Wait, you thought Brandon Finnegan was still a Royal?
No, I thought maybe he played for the Mariners now.
Actually, you know what? He might, as far as I know. Last I saw, he was just some fat kid with the Reds.
It's just sad, man.
The arrow was pointing to him getting booted out of baseball, but still, to show up. Not even to say to what's up, hey, Haas and Moose and Salvi, the core
he don't even know some of these dudes,
team.
Man. I don't think he even knows some of these dudes.
Only Bonifacio and Gallagher came over to say what's up.
No, Witt came and said what's up.
Are you sure?
I am.
I didn't see that.
I watched it. Yeah, Witt came over there. It's rough, man.
Shout out Brandon Finnegan, man.
Yeah, man. Let's look up for that, man.
Yeah, he cleared waivers back in the beginning of the season. Oh, that's just too damn bad.
Yeah. Just don't, like, I'm serious. Don't seek that out to go.
I'll retweet it.
Vern, come on.
At Josh Vern, you're on Twitter. Hit me with that follow. You'll find it.
Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
Just retweeted it.
Yeah.
Washington Nationals star pitcher Max Scherzer suffered a broken nose when he took a ball off his face during
batting
practice.
It's because
he's
wearing camo. Brandon Finnegan.
Scherzer
was wearing camo. It wouldn't be bad.
He was injured while attempting to bunt during practice
on Tuesday.
Max bunting's hard. It's not easy to bunt.
Apparently, it's really hard for Max Scherzer.
Is he going to miss any time?
No, he says he will pitch.
No, Max Scherzer's as tough as they come.
Yeah, have you seen his eyes?
That doesn't make him tough. That's
you
just something
be,
he was
man.
Born with.
You have to be.
Oh,
you got to be a little cagey.
I totally disagree with
Two
that.
Two different color eyes like that?
Yeah, I don't think that really has any sort of reflection on the toughness of Max Scherzer.
I do.
No, let that show you. This guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Bunting's not easy. That's all he's ever been asked to do as a hitter is bunt.
I mean, that thing came back hard, too.
The game seems really easy the further you get away from it. So to say that everyone should be able to bunt and that you can't understand why they're not able to beat the shift, it's a lost art, bunting.
It is.
Can't just learn it overnight, guys.
Yeah, prayers are out to Brandon Finnegan.
Hey, by the way, if you're wondering, how come Serta's not weighing in on this conversation? Because Pete Sweeney's in the studio and now completely taking Serta's mind away from his job.
Oh, is that why he's not reading another news?
He's not even looking at us right now.
It's
he's in there talking
time.
To Pete.
It's break time.
Hey, Pete, get the hell out of here, man.
I really don't know the break time schedule with you. I really don't.
God. I bet Pete thinks popcorn sucks, too.
Well, Pete sucks. I believe last night's performance from Whit Merrifield has, I think it was a game changer, Vern. I really do. I'm putting a show stamp of approval on it, baby. I'm putting it on it with bells and balls on it.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclem.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.